my passion moves out. We also ask that you take a few moments to look at the announcements that are printed in the bulletin for all the activities that are going on. Do we have any announcements from the congregation this morning?
Teenage boys, they helped me cover a mistake that I made. So, fellas, you folders and stuffers, and then some of the elders jump in and help too. So, thank you very much.
Moving on to our prayer requests and praise requests. If you have any that you'd like to have added to the prayer request list, we ask that you put those on the index cards in the pew and drop them in the offering plate.
Jeff Camus's mother, we knew her as Susie Camus. I think it was Lily Bell Camus was her official name. She passed away on Tuesday night, was buried on Friday. You might call Jeff. Some people, we announced it Wednesday night and Thursday night, but some people that didn't make it then didn't get the news. We apologize for that. Jeff said, though, there were 500 people who came through the funeral home in Columbia. Most touching memorial service that I have attended. I was an attendee there, and it was very touching, her life. So, and she'd been sick a long time. Jeff Camus.
Do we have any prayer requests from the congregation?
Lee Preston, a member of the Fayetteville Church. He has also worked very diligently in Presbytery, even at the denominational level, on the Board of Finance, and we ask you to remember his family. He's been sick for a long time. Lee Preston.
Team members were present for the 8 o'clock service. Kelly was absent, and so Sam has already been blessed, but we're going to get Sam a double blessing here. So if y'all go stand in front of us, they're going to Guatemala, and I don't say that right, that in Massachusetts. I still have trouble with both of them. But you understand what I'm talking about. They're going to... What are you going to do, Kelly? They're going to assist Wendy Skinner. Most of you have heard of Wendy Skinner. She was here a year and a half ago, or maybe almost 2 years ago, spoke to us. She works with an orphanage there. She's from Birmingham, Alabama. Pam Caboose and Jessica are going. It'll be Jessica's first trip on a mission team. She's, what, 14-year-old, 15-year-old teenager, so we lift her up. So Pam, Jessica, Kelly, and Sam, with 11 more people, I believe, be leaving Saturday morning to go and spend a week at an orphanage there in Guatemala and a nursing station, et cetera, et cetera. Pam is a nurse, and she'll be going as a nurse. Okay? Lord God, we thank you that you call us to service in your kingdom. And Lord, you speak to us in various ways, always providing that which is needed in every area of life. And you have spoken to this group. We thank you for your call, and we thank you for their response. And Lord, we just ask your blessings upon them as they go to represent us, but to glorify you and to bring relief to some hurting children. Lord, watch over them, go with them. Let it be a living presence, the presence of Jesus with them. In his name, that name of Jesus. Amen.
At this time, in preparation for worship, we ask that you bow your heads for a moment of silent prayer to prepare our hearts for worshiping God.
Jesus Christ is risen. God we serve is the risen King.
God we serve is the risen King.
God we serve is the risen King.
God we serve is the risen King. Jesus is alive and well. He conquered death, the grave, and hell. Every heart rejoice and sing. God we serve is the risen King. God we serve is the risen King. God we serve is the mighty One. God we serve is the mighty One.
God we serve is the mighty One.
God we serve is the mighty One.
He is Lord of everything. He comes with healing in His name. Him our victory is won. God we serve is the mighty One. God we serve is the mighty One. Sing hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, He lives forevermore. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Death defeated and Jesus is Lord. God we serve reigns in victory.
God we serve reigns in victory.
God we serve reigns in victory.
All the power in His hand.
Destroying all the works of sin.
He
lives to set the captive free. God, we serve, reign in victory. God, we serve, reign in glory. Hallelujah, 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 healing forevermore. Hallelujah, hallelujah, death defeated and Jesus is Lord. The God we serve is the risen King.
Christ the Lord is risen today.
Great! pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we can sing hallelujah because Christ is risen. You raised Him up, O Lord, and we rejoice in that today. We come thanking You and praising You this morning. We come applauding You. We applaud Mike and the choir because we are thankful for them. But Lord, more especially, we applaud You. We offer praise and thanksgiving through our clapping and through our singing, through our meditating upon Your truths. Thank You for calling us together today. Thank You, Lord, for the events of the week that led up to this Sunday so many generations ago. Lord God, and thank You for the event of this day that we celebrate. Lord, we praise You and thank You that Jesus was willing to die for us. And we thank You more especially, Lord, that He overcame death in the grave and He is alive, even forevermore, as the first fruits of those who sleep in Jesus are those who die, trusting in Him as their Lord and Savior. Thank You for that hope that is ours as Your people. Now, Lord, speak to each of us this day. Enable us to worship You in truth and in spirit. Enable us, Lord, to be touched. And enable us, Lord, to respond in a manner that would bring glory to You. Thank You for this day. Thank You for this gathering. Thank You for these who have come. And thank You for the privilege of sharing Your word. In Jesus' name, we offer our prayer. Even now, praying as He taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing and we put into words that which we believe as we recite the Apostles' Creed followed by the Gloria.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From this He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Forgive us, God, for mercy. Help us to trust your power to change our lives and make us new, that we may know the joy of life abundant given in Jesus Christ, the risen Lord.
Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness is from 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed.
Turn your hymnals down. If you kept your place, it's right across the page. Christ the Rose, 2:16. We're having a little electronic difficulty this morning, so we're trying to work on that for the next session. Christ the Rose.
Sunrise, we went up on top of the mountain, 7,500 feet. We had sunrise service. There's not been too many Easters. I can't really remember one in the last 20 to 25 years that I've not sung this song. So last Easter was no different. We sang it on top of that mountain, and it was one of the most meaningful experiences that I've ever had. so I hope that you will relish in the story of Peter and the night before and the morning of the resurrection. Fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sign, half in hopeless sorrow and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us on away. And just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gates began to rattle, and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me, and she told us where she'd been. She said they moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. But the stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, but John ran on ahead. We found the stone in the empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. Our where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, but what, I didn't know. John believed a miracle. I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything that I'd promised him added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. Even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. Suddenly, the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. Light that shone from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide, and I fell down on my knees, just clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear that I'd ever had just melted into peace. No other religion, Christianity is not a religion, it's a way of life, but no other religion on earth has a risen Savior. No. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, high and forgiven, heaven's gates far open and wide. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, and I'm forgiven. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive.
Last Sunday night we had a musical presentation. It's doing some funny things up there. And one of the songs that we shared was one that Sam sang that just, well, had me boohooing like Tammy Faye every time we sang it. And it really means a lot. It's about the first time that we experienced Jesus' salvation. So we wanted to share this one again for you. And Sam sings a solo on it. I asked him if he had enough voice after singing He's Alive, but it's just so beautiful. And we hope you'll bear with us while we try to work through this one. You may have the voices on there from the people who recorded this originally, like we had this morning on the first song. But we really did sing it without them last Sunday night. So that's our technical difficulty.
Many years I was bleeding and bruised from the hurt and abuse that had cost me a million tears. All the winds and the rains, like a hammer of pain, had etched lines of grief on my face. But the past was released, and it all turned to peace. First time that I came to grace. Oh, think the past away, all became new. My heart started singing, the clouds broke, the sun came through. Oh, I return, over and over, nothing will ever erase the memory of the smile that I came to grace. I could never describe how I feel so alive since I met grace and mercy that day. I traded all that was wrong for a heavenly song. Joy chased my sorrows away. It's amazing to me that a king's majesty would be traded to die in my place. But he took my despair and he made me an heir the first time that I came to grace. All things are passed away, but love became new. You see my heart singing, the crowd broke, the sun rose, the sun is true. The memory of the first time.
children's time now. If you children, please come down front, Miss Andrea. And there will be children's church this morning. expository sentence today comes from Hebrews 6:10. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. Will our ushers please come forward?
sing the third verse. Third verse only. Rejoice. Rejoice, O Christian.
Records the Apostle Peter preaching or telling Cornelius and those gathered at Cornelius' house. You can find this in the 10th chapter of Acts, if you will. Peter tells that congregation, if you could call it a congregation, those gathered people, that even the prophets of old had preached, and this is what they preached, that everyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sin through His name. Everyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sin through His name. Or everyone who trusts in Jesus. That's another word for believe. Believe in more than just believing that He was a figure from history, but believing in Him as God's Son, whose death paid for our sin, and whose resurrection was a sign of our resurrection also. Forgiveness of sin. That's what we need to get out of this world and get to heaven. That's also, forgiveness of sin is what we need in this life to be able to live life to its fullest. For sin, unforgiven, we feel guilty over, or we should. And sin, unforgiven, binds us, keeps us from being able to live life to its fullest. Sin keeps us separated from God. And through our trust in Jesus, or our belief in Jesus, another word is faith, through our faith in Jesus, we experience forgiveness of sin and are free to live life to its fullest in this existence here on earth. But after this existence is over, to experience heaven. Sermon should have a purpose. I'm not sure that my sermons always have a stated purpose, but recently I've been trying to, since I've been making outlines and sharing them with you, I've tried to state a purpose of the sermon. This sermon, or the goal of this sermon, or the goal of me being here in front of you, what I hope to accomplish is to just present the resurrection message, and I present it with the anticipation that believers will be strengthened in their belief. And I'm guessing that what percentage of us are believers in Jesus as our Savior? Maybe 100%. So it's my hope and anticipation that through this message, as we look at the record from the Gospels, the good news, that our belief will be strengthened. Our faith will be strengthened. And if there be an unbeliever here, one who has not yet come to trust Jesus, that somehow, some way, what has taken place in this service or what will take place in the sermon, maybe it's not only the sermon, that if that person, if they be present, will come to trust in Jesus as their Savior and the Lord of their life. Forgiveness. Forgiveness comes through believing in Jesus or trusting Him. Or forgiveness comes through faith in Him. His death on the cross, where we know that He paid for our sin. And then being raised on the third day to new life, overcoming sin, our sin that killed Him, overcoming death, the death that we caused, and then defeating Satan. Today is Easter Sunday, we call it, but it's really Resurrection Sunday. Our thoughts center to the resurrection of Jesus. And the resurrection of Jesus is central to the Christian faith. It is the central message of the Christian faith. William Barclay writes that one thing is certain. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, we would never have heard of Him. I listen to prayer. Prayers are offered to God, right? We pray to God. But those around listen to the prayers, and we can say amen to them. And so when the person is leading us in prayer, we are joining with them as we listen and affirm. And Sam often prays a phrase that I think emphasizes what Barclay has said. Lord, if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for Jesus being raised, we wouldn't have a church. We wouldn't come together today. We wouldn't have the friendship of this group, at least. We may have friends or acquaintances, but we wouldn't be together today if Jesus had not been raised. So when Sam says, Lord, thank you for what you have done for us, because without you, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be involved in the work of the church, which is the work of God's kingdom, inviting people to come into the kingdom. And this is the avenue which God has chosen, we are convinced, to use to bring people into His kingdom. Peter preached a sermon at Pentecost. He had denied Jesus, but then Jesus forgave him. And Peter was ready to preach come 50 days after the resurrection. On the day of Pentecost, Peter included in his sermon the fact that Jesus had been raised from the dead. Now, the resurrection that was central to his preaching. The first preaching we have after Jesus' resurrection, ascension. Twice he says that Jesus is alive after he had died. It's in Acts chapter 2, verse 24. It's in Acts chapter 2, verse 32. Jesus, Peter says, was alive. Peter met him face to face. The one who had denied him, denied that he even knew him. But then Jesus came and walked with him by the shore of the sea and restored him and affirmed him and told him to go and be his agent, bringing help to those who need him. Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, care for my lambs. Luke, the writer of Acts, the writer of the Gospel of Luke, a partner with the Apostle Paul, he wrote about Jesus being alive after his suffering. And when you read about Jesus' suffering, that's referring to the crucifixion and the hours right before the crucifixion. In the introduction to the book that we know as Acts of the Apostles, in Acts chapter 1, and in verse 3 and 4, Luke says of Jesus, he showed himself to these men and gave many proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, Luke continues, and spoke of the kingdom of God. And then Luke begins to quote what Jesus said after he arose. One thing about the resurrection that I think we need to affirm or to stress is that God the Father is the power behind the resurrection. God the Father is the power behind the resurrection.
Now, as Trinitarians are people who believe in the Trinity, we believe that there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And they're all one God and three different revelations of that God. But the historical Jesus was dead and buried and put in the grave. The physical Jesus who came to earth, though God put on flesh and blood. And while he lay there in the tomb, it was God that raised him up. Acts 2:24, Peter says, God raised him being Jesus, from the dead. Acts 2:32, in this sermon on the day of Pentecost, Peter says, God raised this Jesus to life. And then he goes on to say of him and those other disciples, maybe there were 120, of these are of, we are witnesses of this fact, or of this fact we are witnesses. Matthew records that Jesus was alive after his crucifixion. Matthew 28. Mark chapter 16 records Jesus being alive. Luke in chapter 24 that we've already read from. John chapter 20 and 21. And I just like to go and read the John account. I like to read them all. But John account, when he came and the disciples had gone back fishing. Many of them had been fishermen. And after Jesus' death and burial and resurrection, some of them had already seen him. But then they were not empowered by his spirit, Jesus' spirit. Some of them went back fishing. Maybe they just needed a little time off. But Jesus came, was on the seashore, and had prepared a meal for them. When they arrived back at the shore, numerous people encountered the risen Jesus. Numerous people, it is recorded, as we find people encountering Jesus, we know one thing, that they were urged to believe. Thomas is the character that we most often refer to as being the doubter. He had real trouble believing. If we say he must have been from Missouri, you've got to show me state. You've got to prove it to me. But Thomas is not the only one. The other disciples had a little difficulty. They just saw Jesus before Thomas did. And they had been moved to believe. And then Thomas, he had to have a little help. Also, people from other states than Missouri have to be shown too, do we not? Sometimes. Urged to believe. And Thomas said, I won't believe unless I touch the nail prints in his hands and feel the hole in his side that the spear went through when the Roman soldier thrust it into his side. So Jesus showed up one day and said, here, Thomas, come here. Feel my hands. Thrust your hand here in my side. That was urging him to believe, right? He had made his great claim. He had said he would believe he could see this, and he did. The women who came to the tomb to anoint the dead bodies, the angel reminded them what Jesus had promised. The angel went and showed them the empty tomb. It was beyond belief. They had more than likely watched Jesus being placed in that tomb. The stone rolled in front of the entrance to the tomb. The seal, the government seal put on the tomb. It was unbelievable that tomb was open when they arrived. And that the body was gone, but the grave clothes, the wrappings for his body were there. That Jesus was alive again, we would say, unbelievable! Jesus and the angels surrounding urged them to believe. Aren't we urged to believe? Does not the Scripture urge us to believe? Maybe we need to pray for faith.
Because the Apostle Paul wrote in a letter to the Ephesians that even our faith or our belief, our ability to believe, even that is a gift from God. Having discovered the risen Jesus, the first duty of those who had met him, and the first duty of those who had found an empty tomb, the first duty of those who came to believe was to share the good news. Having discovered, they were ready to make known their discovery. Having received, they were ready to give. The angel told Mary to go and tell Peter and the other disciples. Mary went and told. Matthew says of the women, Matthew records that there was more than one with Mary at one visit to the tomb, that they ran to tell. They couldn't keep it a secret. Their master, their teacher, he was alive again. Death could not hold him. Jesus' last words after, Jesus' last words before he ascended was to go and tell. Go and tell. So even today, we are urged to go and tell. And then we have sung some songs of rejoicing this morning. He's alive. The children's song that we sang. Songs of rejoicing. Songs of celebration. We even clapped in celebration. We clapped in appreciation of those who presented those songs. But we also clapped, did we not? Because of the message of those songs. Or we clapped because of the event that the message tells us about. Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen. There was much fear associated with going to the tomb. And the angels appearing, that's fearful, but the soldiers there had been left to guard the tomb. There was much fear. But after the angel spoke to the visitors to the tomb, especially the women, oh, they were still afraid, but they were also filled with joy. So they rejoiced within themselves if they were filled with joy. And that joy, they shared it. They rejoiced with those around them. And Jesus urged them not to be afraid when he appeared to them. Those who encountered Jesus experienced a living presence. You know, we can read about George Washington in a book. And that's just a historical figure that means so much to all Americans, the first president of the United States. We can read about Christopher Columbus, that one who discovered America. We can even read about Eric the Red, the Viking, that some say that got here before George Washington did. And then Leif Erikson, Eric's son. I studied a little bit of history. We can read about Abraham Lincoln, the Emancipation Proclamation. But these are characters from history. They are dead. They are gone. We know a little about them, but they are dead and gone. But Jesus is a living presence. His words to those gathered as he ascended or was ready to ascend. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age or to the end of the world. Jesus is not just the character in a book. He is a living presence with us today. What is the importance of the resurrection for us? We've kind of alluded to it, but let me state it again. It's salvation. He died to pay for our sin that we might be saved from them or from the penalty of sin. His death brought about or made it possible for us to be forgiven. Forgiveness. What about your belief in Jesus? What about your trust in Jesus?
something about your faith. The Bible teaches that God the Father wants everyone to experience forgiveness and salvation. Not willing that any should perish. He wants us all forgiven for every sin that we have ever committed. He even sends His Holy Spirit to help us to believe in Jesus or to trust in Jesus as our Savior, that we might experience forgiveness, salvation, and receive the gift of eternal life. Turn in your hymnal, if you will, to 355. We want to sing verse 1 and verse 4. It's an opportunity for anyone who so desires to express a new faith in Jesus or a renewed faith in Jesus. And especially those who have not trusted Jesus, if you feel that God is urging you today or moving you and calling you to put your faith in, we know you can do it privately, but He also calls us to make public our commitment, our expression, express our faith publicly. If that is your situation today, I await you here in the altar for you to come and share that faith with us as we rejoice together in the salvation that the risen Christ provides for us. 355, 1 and 4. Give us faith to believe, or the ability to trust. Lord, walk with us every day that we may continue to rejoice with you and that we may share this good news, the good news of salvation and eternal life. Thank you through Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're a first-time guest, please don't rush out. We would ask you to allow us to greet you and welcome you. God bless you.